Today is November 23rd, 2020, and we're doing a cattle ranching in Clark County interview with Mark and Terry Leckie. So, what is your full name, Mark?
Mark, middle initial O, Lucky,
Okay.
Luckie.
Terry?
Terry Elaine Tuttle Leckie.
Okay. Where do you live?
We live 13 miles south of Sitka on the state line.
Okay. When did the family come to Clark County?
Not really sure.
Terry's great-grandfather acquired the property, I believe, in 1923.
Okay. And what was his name?
John B. Greaves.
Okay. How did he acquire it?
It was acquired on a bad debt. He loaned a man named John Edwards money, and he defaulted on the loan, and that's how he acquired part of the ranch, Snake Creek Ranch.
And how long has it been called Snake Creek?
At least two previous owners to Terry's great-grandfather.
Okay.
That would be, I believe, John Edwards's father-in-law called it Snake Creek Ranch.
And he was in service, wasn't he?
Colonel Perry.
Colonel Perry.
And I'm not,
Was
don't.
that kind of like the Perrys that did the Harper Ranch? Where there's Perrys over at Englewood?
I think the Perry's at Englewood. And it
Okay.
was told to me, and I don't know that it's true, that John Edwards acquired it by marriage. Colonel Perry's daughter.
Daughter. Yep. So, were there any schools on the property?
Yes. Right at a mile north of the Kansas-Oklahoma border on 183, there is still a foundation and a storm cellar. It's not in good, and a well. It's not in good repair, but there was a school there.
Do you know what it was called?
No, I do not. The last, I know some of the Randall fam children were students there, but I don't know what it was called. I think Paul Salyer was a teacher there.
Old
Yeah.
Paul.
Old Paul
Paul Senior.
Salyer.
Yeah.
Not CP, not Charles Paul,
Right.
but
But his
old.
grandfather.
Yes.
Okay.
And what was the story someone told us about Paul taught the kids how to do math and add by rolling dice and adding up the dice?
Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, it's a good way to learn. So is the headquarters at the same place that it was
As
back
far as
when?
we know.
Okay. Do you know how many acres it was originally?
I do not.
And have you acquired acres since the original?
Some. When I joined the family in 74, it was told to me that it was 17,000.
Is it all,
It's contiguous.
and it's all grass?
No.
No?
There's about 2,500 acres of farm ground, 2,000 acres of farm ground.
So, what are the crops that are grown? They've been the same, think.
Wheat, forage for the cattle, Milo, alfalfa. Not necessarily still grown, but in the years past.
Talk about the old barn. The horses they used to use too.
Yeah, when there was a barn there that was built of cement and concrete. And it looked like it was hand poured. It was crude at best. But inside there were, I think, about 20 stalls that housed workhorses. And when I moved there in 74, 75, there were still harness and workhorses.
What would they have used as workhorses? Would they use like Percherons or something like that, or mules?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because my grandfather used to do mules and stuff, so that was very common. So what type of livestock?
Should have.
Yeah. I think we have a bill of sale with my grandfather during the dirty 30s. He went back and he leased it to Pearl Abel, I think, and sold his cattle.
Sold the cows, calves, and it specifically called for X number of cows, X number of calves, X number of workhorses, X number of milk cows. It showed the whole inventory. We've still got that contract.
So... was there a specific breed of cattle that they grew?
At that time, Terry's grandfather had polled heifers. Because there's pictures. That's the only reason I know there were polled heifers.
So they've gone through a whole bunch of different types of animals through the years? They have a different breed now that is very common?
Most of ours are Angus base, yes.
Yeah. So tell me about the land. What's the geography of the land?
Rolling sand with some harder ground, but most of it is rolling sand hills.
Are you right on the river? Do you have a lot of tamarack?
No.
Nope.
We're a mile and a half off the river.
So, did they grow a lot of like a garden or
I have no idea.
No idea to tell.
No.
Yeah. Did you hire outside help? Did they use?
There were
houses all over.
There were houses. Well, we have a pasture called the Yellow House. Mm-hmm. We have a pasture called the Brown House. We have a pasture called the Reed. And it would go back, and in the reed pasture, there is a windmill with a concrete base around it. This concrete base said Reed Brothers, 4th of July, 1919.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Reed, who was a welder in Ashland forever,
right,
brought his aunt out there, and she said she remembers that, and she pointed to the northeast and said, I used to play with some kids over the hill that direction. And for the life of me at that time, I could not remember. I couldn't get that together. But it happened to be where there's an old foundation at a windmill.
Oh.
And I'm sure, you know, putting two together, you know, if Auntie said that I used to play with kids over the hill, and she pointed in the right direction.
Right.
But yes, there were people that lived in the garage.
Yeah, Dad converted an old building into a garage, but people lived in it. There was plumbing in it. And then the Nicholson House, and then, of course, the Stegman House had people living there that worked on the ranch. And then in Oklahoma, there was a homestead.
The Richardson place, and I don't know. I don't know when he acquired that.
How far away is that?
That's a mile.
So was that part of their pay, was to have a place to live?
No, I just don't think that they could go. It was the time of horse and buggy.
Right.
I just don't think people traveled to go to work. I think they got up and walked out the door.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they probably got a whole sum of a dollar a day or whatever.
When I was a child, we used to have people that would drive through our driveway. Mm-hmm. And it was because Dad used to work here, and now he's in his 70s, and he wanted to see where he used to work. That happened all the time. Yeah. Doesn't happen much anymore.
There was one family that stopped in the last 6 months and said, my great-grandfather worked on this ranch.
So is half of the ranch in Oklahoma and half of it in Kansas? Or
no,
is that just expanded?
The Richardson place is basically 200, 300 acres, and it's in Oklahoma mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is in Kansas, and it's the first 2 miles north and south in Kansas. And half of it is about Highway 183. So there's half on each side of the highway. It's basically 2 miles north and south and 14 miles east and west.
So about how many cattle do you run now?
Oh, our cow herd will consist of about 900.
Are you cow-calf or steers or?
Both.
Both?
Backgrounding and cow-calf both.
So do you keep a lot from 1 year to the other or do you?
We'll keep a cow until she's 10, 11 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
She'll start production as a two-year-old. Yeah. She'll start raising a calf.
So what type of things do you use to feed them? Do you just give them grass or do you hay a bunch or?
We don't use a lot of hay. They will get hay if their ground is covered. Otherwise, they get protein cubes and fresh water.
Yep. So do you start the cattle from calf and then take them all the way and finish them out?
That's correct.
Before you go to the sale?
We don't go to the sale. We sell them. Most of our cattle are sold through U.S. Premium Beef right now. Actually, we sell them until they are slaughtered.
Yeah.
Or so, we own them until they are slaughtered.
Yeah.
But it's been other ways too through the years.
Do you purchase cattle from like buyers and bring them in or do you?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and then
Those will end up being backgrounded and grown and then sent to the feed yard. They'll be finished there and go to slaughter.
Do you do a lot of AI?
We artificially inseminate our first calf heifers. And that's all we usually artificially inseminate. And we synchronize them.
Right.
And AI them one time. And then turn them with the bulls. And the bulls get their shot at them one time.
Uh-huh.
And then in 45 days, we'll pregnancy test them. And the rest of them that did not breed will go to the feed yard.
And are you establishing your own feed yard now so that you kind of have the whole gamut from start to finish?
We're talking about a grow yard right now.
So how do you work cattle? Like branding and doctoring, do you?
Most of the time we run calves through calf cradle.
And you have corrals?
We have corrals centrally located within. The corrals are located like at the corner of three pastures or four pastures. There'll be a set of corrals. And there's five sets of corrals on the ranch.
So it's not very far that you have to take a group of cattle to actually...
mile and a half, 2 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. So you like brand and doctor...
And castrate, vaccinate, and then most of the cow-calf deal... You don't have to doctor, quote unquote. Yeah. It's only the purchased cattle that, and the calves, when we wean, we'll have a small amount of sickness, but most of the sickness that we have are purchased cattle.
Yeah. So do you have a small death rate from those or?
Oh, it's like 1%.
Yeah. So when you work cattle, do you bring in extra crew?
Sure, we hire help.
And then they do most of the doctoring for you. How does that work?
We have cowboys that we've hired on a daily basis that take care of the cattle.
And then you bring in extras for when you do
your work? When we're working calves, when we're processing calves, nursing their mothers, we'll bring those people in.
So how have the cattle that you raise changed from when you first started, like back when you first joined the ranch? Are they different size? Are they different?
They're bigger. I would say most of the cows in 1974-75, most of the cows in good condition would weigh 1,000, 1,050. Most of our cows now will weigh 1,300, 1,400. And that's something that we strive to make smaller. We don't need a 1,400 pound cow.
Yeah.
It takes more to feed them. It takes more grass.
Yeah. Do they have larger calves? Or
yes, they do.
And is that something?
We weaned some calves, steer calves, the other day off of their mothers that weighed 722 pounds. I can remember the first time that we ever had a set of calves weigh 500. So that's a lot of difference. That's a lot of pounds.
So do you breed them to be bigger, and are you working for a specific market when you sell them?
Are you hanging them on the rail? Yeah. Beef market.
And do and be a choice or
yes.
a high grade type of cattle.
Yeah.
And we talked about crops. Do you plant stuff still? Do you do wheat and
yes.
that type of stuff? Do you harvest yourself, or do you bring combines in?
The last couple of years, we have used triticale
uh-huh.
as a forage. And then when it got more mature, headed out, then we would chop it for silage and put it in a silo or in a plastic bag. And then that is our winter forage for our livestock.
So does triticale have a better nutrition count?
It's sheer volume. It grows faster than wheat.
And taller? Or doesn't it have a bigger head or something?
Oh, we're not worried about the head. We're not worried about the grain in the head. You're more worried about pounds of forage. Stop. And 2 years ago, we had some triticale, and it was an exceptional year.
Mm-hmm.
But we had some triticale make 14 tons to the acre.
It's not bad. Yeah.
And this year, ours made 7 tons to the acre.
So, and how long does that last when you're feeding it out to your cattle?
Like a cow would get 3% of her body weight. Up to 40, probably up to about 40 pounds a day. So you're using that number of cattle times.
Right.
Times 40 pounds. And then your yearlings that you're growing, they'll get about 3% of their body weight. So say they weigh 6, that's 18 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then you can put a little grain with it and make it a little nicer. And even if you don't have wheat pasture, you can get along for a long time.
Do you usually use wheat pasture?
Or yes, we do. Or
all the time?
Triticale pasture. Yes.
Yeah, because it works pretty much the same.
Yes.
Yep. I thought of something. Oh, do you feed your cattle in the morning or in the evening?
Sometimes both.
Does it depend on the weather? Or?
No, it has more to do with, we have 167 heifers at the house. The reason we're feeding them twice a day is because the volume, the bunks won't hold the volume. So it's just, we don't want to pour it out on the ground, so we're just feeding them twice a day.
Yeah. So when do you calve?
March, April.
Usually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any trouble with weather then? Do you bring them in to a special place?
Only the first calf heifers.
And do you have a good percentage of live calves?
A good percentage?
Yeah.
I would say so, yes.
You don't lose very many in a year.
There has been 1 year out of 40 some years that I've watched heifers that I had 100% calf growth.
Ooh.
1 year.
Yeah.
If they can die, just strange things happen. Yes,
it does. The ranch would have been around when there was the Depression. Did the Depression have any effects on the operation?
Yeah, it did. Enough that my grandfather went back to Bartlesville. He was in the oil field before he bought the ranch inherited the ranch on a whim. But before that, he'd done some major, what would you call it?
He was a
infrastructure. Infrastructure.
Yeah.
The original buildings were a calf shed, shop, and the barn.
The oil shed, yes.
The oil shed. And then he built a greenery, a long machine shed, and the house.
And the bunkhouse.
The two-story brick house?
Yeah, and the bunkhouse, too.
And when would that have been? What year?
In the 20s.
In the 20s?
Yeah. Late 20s on the house, 27.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And the buildings were built by a Seventh-day Adventist. And my dad said it used to make him mad that they wouldn't work on Saturday.
Oh.
But since he was in the oil field, he could run his oil field trucks to the train at Sitka and pick up the building supplies and bring them the 14 miles on probably not very good roads back then. We'll probably list some of the people that used to lease the ranch.
You mean after P.G. Abel was finished with it?
Yeah, Earl Alexander rented it, leased it. Mm-hmm. And then Jim Barth, Jim Beisel, George Brody, Raymond Brody, Julian Clausen, Les Cooper, Harold Daly, Charles Davis, Glenn Nicholson, Bob Rohr, Charlie Rohr, C.B. Rohr, Tom Salyer, and Denny and Gabe Stegman.
They rent all the ranch or just portions of it?
Individual pastures. Uh-huh. And I don't know how they got separate, split up. Who got what and why and how. I think Gabe started working for Earl Alexander. Is that not correct?
Not sure.
And that's how he got on the ranch. Well, when Earl was done with it, I think Gabe got an opportunity to rent some farm ground.
So where Stegman's lived, was that part of the ranch? On that, there on the highway.
So, yes.
I want to go back to a question on cattle. In the early days, did they market them, bring them to Sitka? Do you know, or did they take them to Buffalo?
I think that Sitka had a railroad before Buffalo did, so I would think.
And they had cow pens there.
Yeah, I would think that they would have been put on rail cars.
Yeah. Taken out that way. Did they, besides cattle, did they do like sheep or hogs or lots of horses or?
There is a pasture on the ranch that they call the sheep camp, and there was woven wire around it.
Ooh.
I don't know who ran the sheep, mm-hmm. if there were sheep there.
Yeah.
And I don't know when they ran the sheep. So yes, I think there were sheep there. But when and who?
No telling.
Long before my time.
So when would they have brought the land back into the family, where the family actually started to run it again?
Well, Dad ran part of it, but he was one person. He came back after he quit college, and he and Mom got married, and they came out here.
55.
They got married in 55, and they'd both grown up in Topeka, but Dad thought he would give it a shot, and so he came out here, and I was born in 56.
So he was interested in trying his hand at ranching?
He did.
And he was pretty successful at that, right?
Well, it'd been kind of neglected, I guess you would say. And so he did a lot of maintenance work, I would say. And then, you know, he built his equipment. He started out with a tractor with no cab back then, you know, just a sunbonnet if you were lucky.
Was he mechanically inclined?
He was pretty well self-taught. He taught himself to weld. He enjoyed it, you know, from being a city kid and going to Western Kansas, he didn't do badly.
Was he in the service?
No, he was kind of in between.
Between the days?
Yeah. He graduated from Topeka High School in 1950.
And then did he go, like, to school there in Topeka to college?
Oh, he tried KU for a while, and he tried K-State, and then he went out to the University of Wyoming. He went out with a friend one summer and stayed for the winter.
Liked it. So how did your parents meet?
High school.
Oh, so they were, like, high school sweethearts
right,
or something?
Right.
So, and did your mother have a job outside the home, or was she a...
She, not here. When she lived in Topeka, she worked for Southwestern Bell.
As an operator or secretary?
No, secretary, yeah.
And then she became a ranch wife?
Yeah, yeah.
Was she involved in any community activities? Were they a part of organizations and things to help?
You know, 20 miles in the country was just a little far. I mean, you might, you know, she would go to church on Sunday, and that was probably it.
But she was, I mean, she had some social.
Yeah, work. She was in PEO in 20th century, and the things women did back then, you know. We didn't do 4-H, but she was a Girl Scout leader. And then she was really involved in driving my brother back and forth to football practice.
Yeah.
And basketball practice.
Yes, yeah. All the practices. Mm-hmm. So, but she had several talents, didn't she? She was very creative.
Oh, you mean the flower shop?
Yeah.
Well, that was later in life. I don't think she really knew.
She didn't do any of that when you were younger?
No.
She was mainly just mom?
She cooked. Yeah.
Yeah. Did she have to cook for hired hands or just for the family?
You know, when we were kids, we really didn't have hired hands. We had Ron Salyer worked for us when he was in high school in the summer times, and a few years when he was in college, and that was about it. Dad didn't really have any help.
Yeah. So talk about disasters, like snowstorms or tornadoes or floods or anything. Do you remember any in your lifetime there, or any that they used to talk about?
Anything prior to the snowstorm?
Like in 71?
Yeah, in 71. What grade? 8th grader, 7th grader? No.
You would have been I
was
a sophomore.
Well,
I must have been a freshman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that night I had gone to the movie in Ashland with Mary Lee Haydock and Rhonda Stegman.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Lee was going to stay all night with me. And after the movie, we left. Were you in town that night?
I don't remember being in town that night. Probably, maybe.
The snow started, but by the time we got to Sitka, it was getting serious.
Yeah.
So we stopped at the way station. And there was somebody who lived there.
Oh, Blennis's.
And Mary Lee went in and called her dad and said, we're going to, woke him up and told him we were going to go on. And by the time we got to Rhonda's house, the ditches were the same level as the highway. The only way you could tell where you were was the top of the fence post. Mm. And so Rhonda had to take us on down to my house. And my parents had gone to Spearville to visit the Salyers. And there were no adults there when we got home. And they got home not long after we did, but driving in the same snowstorm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rhonda had, of course, drive back home the 2 or 3 miles.
So were you pretty isolated at that snowstorm?
Yes, we were. I think the phone worked. I think the telephone worked.
Our phone worked.
Which was something. But we were a little short on food. And I remember my brother Mark was still, he was still a baby. We were short
on. Three years old.
Yeah. I can remember Mom made, we'd never had this before, and I've never had it since, but fried bologna.
Yeah.
It was like whatever you had.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Sawyer made his way out. It was a matter of the cattle were, they weren't just starving, but they didn't have any water. And they don't eat snow. And so the men were trying to get to the cattle to break ice, and it just wasn't possible.
Did they airlift any hay to them? Were you part of that? Where they did the airdrop, the helicopters?
I assume we did. Mark was part of that effort.
But that was out of Buffalo?
Buffalo.
Yes.
So where'd you take... Where did you take feed to then?
I can't tell you.
You can't remember? Or?
Well, I just... You know, unless you specifically say...
Oh, this here? Yeah.
Yeah. All we were in charge of doing is loading and unloading.
But you were on a helicopter.
Yes.
Where did they get the hay from?
Farmer stacks. That was when everyone had small squares. And you take 15 high school kids, you can destroy a haystack with a big helicopter because you can load, you know.
Yeah.
You can load every 15 or 20 minutes. And they'd sit down beside it. We would just
hand them in there
and hand them out. They'd go dump them off.
So what do you think they could carry in a load each time?
Close to 100 bales.
And then what, they just kicked them out, or did they?
If they had a specific list of people who wanted their cattle fed, mm-hmm. and they would go to those pastures and dough out so many. But like Terry said, I think it was more a lack of water than starvation.
So how long did that take? I mean, how long did they have to...
Well, we were out of school a week.
Yeah.
But how?
I think we lost 13 head out of that. And that seemed like a lot back then. Mm-hmm.
It's nothing like what the Duvals lost on pigs, I guess.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah. The snow went up underneath the sides of the buildings and suffocated the pigs.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Take high school kids out there to help dig out the pigs. As it was,
you realize that's been 50 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah.
So do you remember any tornadoes? Or?
I can remember getting in the basement a lot. And we had a really nice big basement under that house. But
Was it when you were younger? I mean, grade school?
Yeah. And we also had a cellar on the place. And every year we would open up that cellar door and sweep it out and knock down the spiders. And I don't know if we'd ever go in there. My dad said my grandfather saw a tornado come by and blow down a house that would have been south of us on the hill. And he had just had the cowboys fill in that storm cellar with dirt because he didn't think with that house's basement, you'd never need that cellar. So he saw that house blow away, and it was Bob Rohrer's house. Whose Rohrer's yes. house was that? And he had him dig that cellar back out.
So any floods? You ever see the river come up high?
We're not close enough to the river.
No, but it seems like it used to rain more.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. So what about the big fire? How in 2017, did it affect your operation a lot? Or did you...
You know, if it had been just us, we would have felt we were impacted a lot, but compared to what other people lost, yeah.
Did you lose cattle?
We lost a few baby calves. And the main reason is they were standing on black ground and we had to move them, and they weren't very old. And we walked them home, and that was 5 miles. And put them on wheat pasture, and stress.
Yeah.
You know, we lost a few baby calves.
Did you have to have alternative feed then? Did you lose a lot of grass, or did your grass come back?
We lost about 12 out of 17,000 acres. But if you remember, it started raining right after mm-hmm. that, and we weren't totally out of grass, and we put a lot of our cows. We dedicated the whole wheat pasture, the whole wheat crop, to keeping our cows alive. So,
yeah.
By the time that the wheat was finished being grazed, we were back in the grass business.
Yeah. And the wheat that year was pretty good.
We don't know. We put it all through cows.
It looked like it was going to be good. So, how has your current operation changed since you began, like 40 years ago?
When I went to work for Terry's dad, he had just shy of 200 cows and 600 acres of wheat. And now we farm about 2,500 acres. And we have 900 cows. We didn't feed cattle in the feed yard back then. We do now. Like I said, I remember the first time we had ever raised a calf crop that weighed 600 pounds, and I thought that was a phenomenal goal. But it's easily attained now.
I think you asked the question about when we took back all the land we were leasing. Mm-hmm. Did we cover that?
No.
Oh.
Well, Mark went to work in 1975, maybe?
October 75.
And in 82, my grandmother was doing some estate planning, and she decided to incorporate the ranch. And so in 82, we took all the land back and suddenly had to stock all that land. And that was an adjustment, wasn't it?
Yes.
And about that time, you did get a hired hand, someone to help you.
Yes.
So how's your equipment changed through the years?
Oh, my. When I went to work for John, we had a 4020 John Deere, which was 95 horses. And we had a 4430 John Deere, which is 125 horsepower. The 4020 had no cab. And at times when it was really hot in the summertime, we would run the one with the air conditioner. We would never shut it off. We would run it 24 hours a day. John would run it, Johnny would run it, and then I would run it in shifts. Now we have 400 horsepower tractors with We had a 15 and an 18-foot sweep, and we do a lot of no-tilling now, so the sprayer has 100-foot booms, so it's changed tremendously.
So
I can remember, I think I was a junior in high school, when we had kind of a family meeting, and Dad was going to buy his first tractor with a cab on it. It was a big deal.
Yeah. This worked. So do you have several people in your establishment that are dedicated to the cattle and several people dedicated to just the farming?
Basically, that is correct.
Do they have to switch back and forth sometimes? Or?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
But we have one man who is basically dedicated to the farming end of it, and one man with help on the cattle end of it.
Do you find that they're better employees if they like what they're doing?
Oh,
if they're a farmer?
Yeah, if they're a farmer, it's they don't care. If they're a cowboy, it's a little hard to get them to drive a tractor.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that psychology is there, but it's always been there.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? In cattle, has the medical needs and the way that you doctor changed since the time that you started?
There's a lot of drugs that are not on the market anymore that were useful. I don't know whether they were beneficial to human nature, but there's drugs I wished I had on a daily basis.
That would improve how your cattle were doing?
Yes. Mainly antibiotics.
Yep.
And antibiotics, you know, when I went to work for Terry's dad, a bottle of terramycin and a bottle of penicillin is about all you had.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a lot of antibiotics since then. They've taken some off the market. But I would venture to say you might have trouble finding 1,000 cc's of penicillin for livestock in this town right now. And penicillin used to be the answer.
Yeah. Do you do most of your own doctoring, or do you use the vet a lot?
We do most of our own doctoring. It's under the supervision of the vet, but
yeah. But basically, you're doing it yourself, right?
Yes.
But you take the bulls to town once a year.
Yes.
Bull test.
But that's a semen evaluation, that's a breeding status exam.
So do you keep your bulls a long time, or you get rid of them after so many years?
We go through a lot of bulls. It seems like that we go through too many bulls. But we have on either side of 50 bulls. So when you grow up and you've got 6 bulls, that's, once in a while you lose one. When you got 50, it seems like one of them is hurt all the time.
How do you check on your cattle? Do you use horses or three-wheelers or four-wheelers or a combination pickup?
Horses, side-by-sides. Four-wheelers.
What determines what you're using? Is the lay of the pasture or where the cattle are?
The person.
Yeah,
the person. How they like to...
How old they are.
Yeah. So, do you have any trouble with neighbors' cattle getting into your cattle and having problems with fences? Or
That, if we ever had a problem... the fire of 17 eliminated a lot of fence problems in Clark County. There's extremely nice fences in Clark County. Now, if it didn't burn and the government didn't help you build a new fence, now they're just like they were, but there's lots of nice fences in Clark County anymore.
Yeah. So that kind of helps with...
Yes, that keeps the migration down of the neighbor's cattle. But we have not. We don't have neighbor problems per se. We've got good neighbors.
And do you have a lot of neighbors?
Dad liked building good fence too.
Yeah. Did they partner with the neighbors on building the fence?
Usually, the once in a while we've had a neighbor who just can't afford it or didn't feel like he wanted to do it and didn't say much about it.
How would that work if you partner with somebody? Do you...
You basically build the fence and split the cost.
And like one person builds it or you build it together or...
We've done all of it. Yeah. The old rule of thumb is you walk up to the middle of the fence and the right-hand side's yours. And everybody agrees with it and there's never been, as far as property lines and all that, there's not that big a deal. You know, if you move a fence 2 foot or 3 foot, it's not that many acres.
So what do you use for gates? Do you use cattle guards or do you have actual gates? Or?
We've got a lot of cattle guards and we have steel pipe gates and we have wire gates, but all of the above.
Yeah.
We were lucky to have a lot of oil field activity, and so we got a lot of...
That helps. Dad
traded for a lot of...
Cattle guards.
Cattle guards. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like to open up a fence anyway.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So, you have a lot of grass. Do you have some management tools that you use to make sure that your grass is always in tip-top condition?
Oh, we have... Routinely, we don't spray for weeds and whatnot, but we have in the past. And we give our livestock, give our cows plenty of room. You know, we used to give them 14, 15 acres. Now we're up to 20. But the cows are bigger. A bigger cow is going to eat more grass.
That's true.
So they require a bigger...
Do you rotate from all the pastures? Do you leave some of them
down? We don't.
Down?
No.
You just use them all?
We utilize them.
Talk about windmills and reservoirs.
Oh, yeah.
We basically take care of 40 windmills, and about half of them are solar powered anymore, solar pumps. We do have some concrete reservoirs that store water.
They were built by my great-grandfather and had been maintained all this time.
So about how many do you have? Do you know?
Reservoirs?
Yeah. Or the concrete reservoirs?
7, 12, 16, 22.
Those are numbers.
Those are numbers of windmills.
Uh-huh. That go with a reservoir.
I was just counting ones off that have reservoirs there.
Oh, yeah. The windmills are numbered so that you can tell when somebody needs to go fix one.
Which
windmill you go to, yeah.
So they have to have a map of the ranch so they know just exactly where they're going?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a lot of breakdown on your solar windmills or on your old-fashioned?
Not any more than... The windmills themselves.
Yeah.
I've got solar wells that haven't been out of the ground in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got windmills that haven't been touched in 4 or 5 years. They all require maintenance.
Yeah. Do you have trouble with not being able to pump water because it's cloudy with the solar?
I converted a windmill 6 months ago to a solar, and hindsight, I wish kind of wished I hadn't, because the windmill pumped every time the wind blew.
Right.
But the solar well, it's only pumping when the sun's out.
Yeah.
And it's not keeping up like I'd like to see it. But we're challenging it right now. We have more cattle in there than what we should have. And that'll change within 30 days, so.
Do you have to carry water to him sometimes?
Yes, we
use
have.
Use tank.
We've stuff. Probably hauled more water this year than we have hauled since I've been on the ranch.
Yeah. So, in all the years that you've been on the ranch, looking back, what's the smartest thing you ever did?
Marry me.
That was good.
There's no good answer for that.
And what would you change if you could?
We need more rain. Can you work on that one?
Yeah, we tried that one.
Yeah. Address that as far as...
When you said manage grass, yeah. I did leave something out.
Okay.
We do a good amount of prescribed burning.
Yes.
For weed control and brush control. And it improves the grasses.
Do you have cedars?
No, we do not. We have a sprinkling of cedars down along the creek, but that's about all.
Yeah.
And we've got cedar tree rows. We should have cedars, but for some reason we don't.
You're not, yeah.
And we didn't lose our tree rows in the fire of 17.
So that's lucky.
Lots and lots of people lost.
Yeah.
Cedar tree rows. And cedar tree rows, if you've ever seen one burn, you'll never forget it.
Yeah.
The tree rows were built or planted by my dad and Jim Beisel.
Did they do the soil conservation program to plant trees?
Dad recalled once where he and Jim were waiting for the tree planter, the little contraption they used to plant the trees. Henry Gardner was planting the tree rows around the new high school.
Oh.
And so they were waiting their turn to get that.
Get that.
So everyone was planting trees at that time.
Yeah. Did they have trouble keeping them alive?
It must have rained.
The last tree rows we established probably would have been in the... when did Jesse graduate high school? 94,
90... Late 80s?
Late 80s is the last tree row. And we used filter fabric and used drip irrigation on them. And those are excellent tree rows. The tree rows that John planted back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, they're about worn out.
So are you considering replanting them? Is it as necessary as it used to be for...
Yes, it is. If you... On a big, brisk, windy day, and the wind's coming out of the north and it's really raw, you can get on the upwind side of the tree row and be miserable, and get on the downwind side of the tree row and really be a lot more comfortable.
So you have trees that protect your house?
That's where I'm talking about most of our tree rows.
Yeah, right around the house. You have a different house than what you started out with. Did your folks build your house for you when you moved back, when you started on the ranch?
No, we lived in the old Nicholson house, and that house...
That was the original house on the ranch.
And someone told me it had been everything from a house to a chicken house.
Was it one story?
Yeah. It was pretty basic.
Yeah.
And then we decided to remodel the old bunkhouse, which was a brick building with a green tile roof like the big house.
Uh-huh.
And we lived there about 6 months before we had a gas leak and it burned down. And then we...
Where'd you live while you were getting
the... We moved a mile south on the highway there.
C.B. Rohr's house.
C.B. Rohr's house on the highway.
And then we had this house built in Inman. Mound Ridge, and then they brought it out.
Set it over a basement.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to build the basement, or was it there previously?
No, we had the basement poured.
All from the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, what was your, what did you learn most from having your house burned down? I mean, what kind of takeaways
Save your pictures.
I think it was.
Anything else could be replaced. Save your pictures.
Yeah, it was. It's just material stuff. You know, our kids got out.
Yeah.
It just
worked well. That everybody got out.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. It's when you all you have is the underwear and nightgown you have on. It's a big deal. It's a lot to replace. A lifetime.
Did you have trouble remembering or knowing what you had as far as?
Not at all.
Because we'd only lived there 6 months.
We just moved, so
it was easy.
It was pretty fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't have any trouble knowing what was in the drawers or anything like that?
I did not.
Cool. So how are you preparing for another generation to run your operation? Is that part of the estate planning that your grandmother did? Did she pretty much set that up, or
no? Uh-oh.
Do you have a good succession plan for?
Well, we've worked on succession plan for a long time now, and I guess we are turning it over to the next generation. Not only Jesse as our son who lives there, but as my cousins who live in Kansas City. It's just different now.
So your operation is a corporation, right? So you have corporate meetings and stuff that actually decides what everybody's going to do. How often do you have a corporate meeting for the ranch?
We used to have them at least twice a year, and then we have phone meetings too. Special meetings by phone.
So how has the coronavirus affected how you do your operation?
Not much.
Not right now. We've had one employee test positive for corona, and he basically, if he felt like coming to work for 2 weeks, he did, but we gave him a job that he could do by himself. So he could isolate himself off, and we may or may not have more coronavirus run through the ranch. But
so what about going in and picking up supplies or anything? Are you pretty much self-sufficient, or do you have to like go get feed
the feed's delivered by semi-loads, and I suppose the thing that I have to go do is when they basically shut things down during the first of the coronavirus, we had to make arrangements for somebody to make lunch, you know. So we've eaten a lot of ham sandwiches.
So you used to like go to the cafe?
Yes.
Or something, and then... But now you had to have...
But when everything was closed up...
That wasn't an option, was it?
That wasn't an option.
Okay. So is there anything we've left off? Anything you'd like to say?
Was this trying to record history or current work? Or what was your goal here?
The topic was... cattle ranching in Clark County since 1920.
Oh.
So, you know, most of us haven't been around that long, but we've been involved in cattle ranching for 40 or 50 years of our lifetime, so.
Yeah, we are getting a little longer than two.
Yep, so in our experiences, have as much historical value as the stuff that went before, you know. I think we've maintained the land. There hasn't been much change, you know, in people here. Although in other parts of the county, older families that have been here aren't here anymore, and new families have moved in. So that's another challenge. But
yeah. Mentioned our neighbors. You started on the neighbor angle of it, and we didn't fill that out.
You know, something that I've noted that has really changed in my work history on the ranch is the Peruna School, which was south and east of our house, and the Willard School, which was south and west of our house. We had enough neighbors when we moved out there that each of those schools would have a once a month card party. And it was potluck. There was people playing dominoes. There was people playing pitch. There was kids running around. And all of those neighbors are gone. They passed away. Mostly passed away as opposed to moved to town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you ran out of gas or had a flat and you didn't have the right equipment to change it,
yeah,
you had to walk a mile. Now you can walk 6-7 miles and never see a neighbor.
Right.
It's, I can just, well, like from our house, you start down the road and there was Victor and Edith Harmon, Jim and Nancy Barth. And there is the Jim and Nancy's daughter lived there. But you go on over the hill and Harry and Mary Painter. And then you go south and Wayne and Leona Bates and Dean and Ava Painter and the Hieronymuses and
the Bullards.
And there's just no one out there anymore.
And there's nobody really north of you either.
No. Harper Ranch.
But if you go up, yeah, that's about the closest, right? Is
right.
Someone at the Harper Ranch.
Well, I mean, you can think about the kids that used to ride the school bus with us.
Right.
And
yeah.
Those homes are not there.
Right.
Often.
And that's something that has really, really changed in our neighborhood, quote unquote, is the lack of people.
Yes. So what do you think the future of farming, ranching in Clark County is?
It's kind of scary when you think about all the out-of-state hunters buying the land for prices the local people can't afford.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of acres to make a living.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be, well, the Homestead Act was 160 acres. And you could make a living off of 160 acres. There's no way.
Yeah.
Today, you can't even start. And number one, you can't generate enough cash to pay for it.
No, that's true. So in somebody starting out new, young farmer or rancher?
Can't do it. Unless you have family that has money or land or equipment.
Or have a mentor that has it.
You know, another thing we're going to all be missing is oil and gas activity.
Oh, yes.
That was a nice little bonus.
That kept a lot of people going.
Yeah.
When their cattle weren't doing well. So, we haven't talked about the cattle market. Is it good, bad, indifferent now? Has it?
It's not been good since the coronavirus. It's not just devastating, but there's not much profit in it.
Since the coronavirus or since the China tariff issues with Trump?
No, I would say it was more corona, but that's my opinion. It's livable, but it's not good. And I haven't heard, you're still recording, but go ahead.
Well, I can turn it off. Are you ready?
No, I was going to change the subject, but I chose not to.
Okay. So, thanks for interviewing with me, and I'll...